Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Pristar Art Center presents a new exhibit by Italian-American artist Marco Sassoni. Marco Sassoni, Architecture in Nature, opened this weekend at the Pristar and continues on display through December 2nd, featuring large canvases of streetscapes and architectural landscapes. Sassoni is a native of Florence, Italy, who studied with Silvio Loffredo, a professor of art at the Florence Academy, who himself was a pupil of the Austrian master Oskar Kokoschka. The lineage of Kokoschka is apparent in Sassoni's work that again focuses on streetscapes, architectural landscapes from both high vantage points and street-level depictions. There's a very architectural structure, and the use of strong colors creates a sense of energy of the city. When Florence flooded, Sassoni relocated to the United States, first in Los Angeles, then later in San Francisco, and more recently has moved to Toronto, Canada. His work has been exhibited at the National Academy of Designs in New York. He received a gold medal in 1978 from the Italian Academy of Arts, Literature, and Science. In the late 80s, the artist became increasingly concerned with social themes. He began extensive and personal research on the homeless, painted a series of large canvases and charcoal drawings portraying the life he observed on the streets. That later became a very well-traveled exhibition titled Home on the Streets, which was exhibited in museums in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Florence. I'm joined by Pristar's Curator of Collections and Exhibitions, Scott Perkins, along with the artist himself. Marco and Scott, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Pleasure.
Scott, let me start with you. How did the association between Pristar Art Center and Marco get underway?
Well, we found Marco's work through an agent that we use for a lot of our smaller exhibitions. And so this a woman named Catherine Carter in New York, and she directed us towards Marco's work, and we started investigating a lot of his paintings through mostly website and then some of the books. There's been, I don't know, 7 or 8 publications on his work now. And contacted his studio directly and came up with a nice exhibition. We've got 20 paintings in the exhibition, and they represent probably about a decade worth of work in oil and in watercolor.
And what struck you about his work when you first saw it?
For me, it was really about the colors of the shadows even, just really deep, wonderful colors, the play of light, lots of texture on these paintings. So they're very interesting to stand in front of. You don't really want to leave them. You want to sort of stand and feel like you're walking into them and enjoy them.
Now, Marco, when I first saw your work, I'd read already that you are a student of Oskar Kokoschka. But when I first saw the work, I said, of course you are. There is that lineage that is readily apparent in your work. Tell me about how you started painting in this style. Was this the way you always painted, even before you had training?
Well, I grew up in Florence, and one of my favorite movements in Italy, actually, were the Macchiaioli painters. Macchiaioli painters were a group of painters that were anticipated, actually, a little bit, the Impressionist movement in France, but they painted on wood. And from there, I basically grew up as an outdoor painter, and I used to have these compensato pieces of wood, like plywood, and I painted the outdoor. From there, I remember meeting my teacher at the academy, Silvio Loffredo, and Silvio studied with Oskar Kokoschka. That was an unbelievable thing at that time, and because the Expressionism had always attracted me. But as I mentioned, the Macchiaioli were really typically Italian, and they were working with the macchia, which means spat, basically Tuscan spatters. And I enjoy the style with the strokes and the layers of paint. And at the same time, with the background of the wood come through and incorporate with the painting itself.
So the grain of the wood would show through, so you would get more texture than even the paint was giving you.
Yes, absolutely. So that was very interesting to me, and my father was a painter, and he was watching as I was progressing and so forth. But the real, the major incident was when I met Silvio Loffredo, because I knew that he was a good painter and well-known in Florence. And so he taught me more the freedom of expression. how to let loose, how to flow with the paint, how to become involved and inside with the paint. And so obviously my work went through some evolution. And the first evolution was when I arrived in the States in the late 60s, carrying with me all this bag of things that I had learned in Florence. And I start painting the landscapes in California. The late 60s was a very interesting period in the States. The hippie movement following the music revolution in London. I had spent just before 6 months in London as a struggling artist, selling watercolors on Portobello Road on the streets. So that was interesting. But I continue my way of painting, and I remember going to these lumber yards and ordered this 18 by 24 was my size, was a manageable size. And I continued painting on location, and things went very well right from the start.
I would think because, California has this tradition of the Californian Impressionist. Yeah. And this is, that's in that schoolyard, if you will. It's different than the California Impressionist, but it's, the way you capture light and the energy that is apparent on the canvas, that kind of comes out of that, I think.
Yeah, actually, little did I know, the American Impressionist, each country had its own current, of Impressionism. And also in the States. And later I started looking at these painters, and some beautiful painters. I remember a gallery in Beverly Hills used to tell me that I remind him of Childe Hassam because of the strokes. So that was interesting. But from these pieces of wood, let's say, I graduated to the canvas because the work grew in dimension. I had to express myself. I wanted to capture in a larger scale the surroundings around me, and especially the urban landscape, always being interested in that. So I said, how am I going to move from wood to the canvas? This canvas is white and is staring at me and is scary. And we were talking with a friend of mine. He goes, oh, come on, Marco. I go, no, but I mean, it's too many years I've been painting on this wood. So I devised a technicality myself. I started priming the canvases with some ochre color to remind me of the grain of the wood and the coloration of the wood.
So you actually have a texture when you actually begin your work from a priming process.
Still to this day, it's unbelievable because that is something.
Have you ever tried painting on a white canvas? Does it not work for you?
I did it a couple of times, but since my technical item is to leave through some of the canvas, the white didn't work very well for me.
It's an artificial color. Nothing's that white in
so
nature.
So I kind of toned down the white to an ochre color, like, for instance, the color of these walls here in the studio. And then later on, as the years progressed, even that color became different shapes of other colors according to the final work that I had in mind to do. Mm-hmm. So
And is there a particular design to the texture you put on that base, or is it I just need texture?
I used to get this primer, this gesso, mm-hmm. which was white, and tinted with ochre color, brown, greenish, and
earth,
so forth.
Sort of light earth colors.
And I used to have buckets of this paint because I used it as a primer in top of the white canvas, which was already primed. So actually, technically, it was very good. And it was able to support any of my gesticulation during the process of making painting. So that remained to this day the basic technicality that many critics have been talking about. They say, oh, you really... And then they see it through the painting. And So that has been with me since the beginning.
Now, do you work in plein air? I mean, do you do sketches outside and then come back into the studio to work?
I do, yeah. Uh-huh. I do quite a few sketches. I take photographs. I might finish a very good sketch in on location and so forth. But then the outdoor has converted into the indoor. Basically, I became an indoor painter because my mode is much more expressionistic right now. Mm-hmm. Because the large scale of the works, some of which are monumental in a sense that they reach 100 inches by 140 or something, and we don't have some of this really extra large in the show.
So you're talking 10 feet, 8 yes. feet by 10 yes. feet, yeah. And in this show you're looking 4 by 5, something
have,
about like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 5 by 6, 5 yeah. by 7, yeah. Then,
that's
yeah.
feet.
Feet, yeah. yeah. So the indoor and the studio work really is conducive to produce your inner self, to show your inner, even though you have explored before the outdoor and make sketches or so. I never know exactly what the finished product ends up being from the sketches, and but I do have an idea in mind.
I'm always interested in somebody who works in the studio, especially with your use of color, because the color is so vivid, and there's such a there's all this energy on the canvas. People say, what do you mean energy on the canvas? I'm saying, you know, there's a lot of paint there. There's a lot of movement in what you do. And I'm wondering if the colors, when you get back into the studio, even if you have sketches or photographs, the color becomes really more vivid in your mind's eye as you're painting.
Well, art in itself, you know, it's a little bit an exaggeration of nature.
Sure.
And so colors tend to get a little more intense, more brighter in a way. I love the colors. Basically, I create my own colors even before I paint by knowing what kind of painting I am producing. So I would mix colors.
And so you really go into the process thinking,
yes,
here's a color, this yeah. is a this is sort of a color range I'm going to express in this
yes.
painting.
Yeah.
Now I find the landscape and I, you know, yeah. I'm going to adjust the color to yeah. this color scheme that I have.
Because the difference from the outdoor painting that you go there with the palette and all the colors on the palette and you are mixing right there. In the studio, I need to have a substantial amount of paint ready. I don't want to go look for it and squeeze tubes and so forth.
So it's very much a fast, yeah. organic process.
Yeah, like I have like cups, like uh-huh. ceramic cups, maybe about 20 or so, where there is already the mixing of the colors. Obviously, you have black and white. But you have all these other colors. And for instance, you have a painting that has a coloration of reds, burgundy reds. So I have prepared that gamut of colors on already on my palette. And my palette these days, it's basically a table with holes carved in where these cups are sitting there. So during the process of painting, I really don't know exactly what happens there, but it's like a dipping from one cup to the other and then expressing that on the canvas.
Yeah. My guest today is Marco Sassoni. His work is on display at the Price Tower Art Center. Marco Sassoni, Architecture in Nature, which is on display through December 2nd. I'm also joined by Scott Perkins, the curator of collections and exhibitions at the Price Tower. And good to bring you back into this conversation.
Sure.
As we talk about the work, from a curatorial standpoint, what captures your eye about Marco's work?
Well, we really enjoyed the architectural aspects of the paintings. I mean, to see buildings, you know, contemporary art that's looking at architecture and then
you're really doing
it with the color.
You're doing scenes that have been done for 80, mm-hmm. 90 years, although
of course,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Or hundreds of years,
yes,
really.
Of course,
I mean,
yeah,
in Florence,
right. yes, yeah, especially especially in Europe, yeah, Florence, Italy in general. But, you know, as you know, art, I find that has been done before. Any sort of style or so forth, we can only try to express ourselves and find our own identity within the art that we are doing, whether it's painting, music, sculpting, and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, it's really looking at, we always like to say we like to combine architecture and design or architecture and art, and this is one of those exhibitions that covers both architecture and art very nicely. The thing I liked, too, about the paintings was that it did have this brilliance to it and this sort of life. They're very rich with the colors, and you see reflections in the streets, and it almost like they're wet still with the paint or wet with rain. So there's a lot of life to them, and they're very large. So they're a sense of almost, you know, we're looking like it appears that we've added windows to the gallery, essentially. And you could really look through them and out into the street itself.
Into this vivid technicolor world, I have to say. Mm-hmm. and what I like is when you're looking at a streetscape, you can feel the energy of, you know, it may be a placid image where you're looking down an empty street.
Yes.
But you feel, you know, when you're walking down the street of a large city, especially one maybe you don't know so well, there's this energy that, and, it's, and you feel it. It's a palpable sort of, even you can walk down, be the only person walking down the street, but you feel that energy of the city, and that this art seems to capture that.
It's basically a reading. The artist sees perhaps a little bit more, and it's reading the landscapes and finding the elements for painting that are interesting to you. But I wanted to make a note about Scott because he's the curator. I wanted to tell you that he did a great job because we sent him about 40, 50 images. He curated a show with different periods going from urban landscapes in North America. He picked up a few pieces from my ongoing series on Venice. And then he has also one of the track paintings that it's interesting that he picked that one. So he created a good 20 pieces that really reflect the work of the artist. Including that the track painting, because for me...
The track painting, to explain the track painting.
Track painting, a railroad track, basically.
Perspective.
Yeah, perspective. Uh-huh. Perspective for me has always been an element.
Well, and that shows up, I mean, you're looking down a narrow streetscape with the Chrysler building in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a underpass where the underpass frames the street scene.
Even
I'm looking at some things like from along the coastline. It looks like it's the Italian Riviera.
Yes. You know,
there's a very strong perspective element in everything you do.
I am almost obsessed about capturing the perspective of certain views. And so the railroad track came, it was something that I discovered in North America. It started with the Canal of Venice. Because the canal, even though you say, oh, there is water, there is... But the canal draws your eye into the end, and you want to know what's next, where does it go. So the railroad track is very interesting for me because it gives me the thought of departure and arrival. And for me, has been the something that has constructed my life. I have departed and arrived in so many places that this is exactly who I am. Even growing up in Florence, I always had the sense that I had to leave. In fact, it did happen following the flood of Florence in 1966. That brought me to the States, but this item of the railroad track captures exactly the element of traveling and going and arriving.
You know, you were talking about the canal. I mean, that's a yes. limited landscape of railroad track is yeah. infinity.
Absolutely. Yeah. With the extra element of the water.
Yeah.
Venice really is, for me, has been a substantial theme because of the architecture as well. So you have the architectural, the water, the perspective, and as I said, it's an ongoing theme. I go back and forth. And
now, I want to talk about one change that you've had in recent years is you moved to Toronto in about 6-7 years ago, and has that affected your color scheme? Because I think, you know, the Canadian landscape is about as far from California as you can get. You either have, you know, sun overhead or on the horizon as far as light goes, and it's, you know, winter 8 months a year.
It has affected for sure my way of life.
Has it affected your art? Because when I see some of the Toronto images, it's a little bit different color palette.
Yeah, it has a different light, like you say. Because you have a long winter, like six months out of the year. And then when it started getting, when you get the light in the springtime, it's very hard. It's different. I don't know exactly how to explain, but it's different from the Italian and even California.
Well, you know, the thing about the northern latitudes is each day is incredibly different because the sun moves basically further up in the sky much quicker.
We are much closer to the North Pole, so there is something to do. But speaking about Canada and Toronto, it was not exactly the landscape and the vast land that this country has that attracted me. More actually the urban landscapes mm-hmm. and the industrial landscape, including the tracks. I have done actually more tracks in Toronto than I have done in California. I think it goes with the cultural heritage of the country. I discovered that the railroad track was part of the evolution of the country with the lumber and so forth. And so I incorporated into my work, and I always attack those paintings. I really do enjoy the perspective.
Now I want to talk about one other series, which isn't in the show, but it's been a big part of your work in the past, and that is capturing the marginalized. And, you know, you did a whole long series on life on the streets and basically capturing the homeless. And this goes back, what, early 80s or this late 70s?
Yeah, this goes back to the 80s, very early 80s, from my move from Southern California to Northern California. It's a contrast, very different, the Southern and North of California. But arriving in San Francisco, immediately I detected these street people. And I keep looking at them and painting and so forth, but not painting them. And until one day, from my big windows of the studio, I observed a street person with his cart, you know, one of those shopping carts, and he had his entire house in there, and he was passing by the window. The cart was so colorful that it grabbed my attention. I went down the street, followed him, and coincidentally, I stopped him right on a railroad tracks. So I see this homeless man, his cart, the railroad tracks, and in my mind I'm going, this is something that is attracting me. And I start taking pictures, and I said, here is $10, can you work with me? And he goes, oh yes, man, I stay here as long as you like. And I did numerous sketches of this man. His name was Willie, I still remember. And took it up to the studio, and I started painting. I started painting, but I painted the railroad tracks without the Willie guy there. In that very moment, I conceived the entire exhibition, Home on the Street, because I connected that I'm had to paint the figure again. And so I began with the extensive research where these people were, from newspaper, from anything. And so I would go and mingle with them. And I spent from 90 to 94. And, you know, they are 4 years, but at that time they were very long 4 years.
Yeah.
I was like one of them, long hair, long beard and everything. And I stopped them. I had so many stories to tell the mayor of San Francisco. And his homeless department, they used to come to my studio to ask me, what is going on? What can you tell us more than what we know? And this and that. So it was interesting. But for me, let's remember that it was an artistic project. So I had to paint this.
And
people.
I think there was one in particular where you devoted a whole series to. It was a man with the blue eye.
Yeah, Willie.
Is that Willie?
That was the man with the blue eyes, because this man could not remember his name. And I did many sketches as I was there, and it was a very, very vital encounter for me, for the stories that he told me, and what he was doing, and what he was dreaming, and so forth, that I painted his portrait in the studio many times. I did large paintings of him as well, and then I would finish this story by telling you that once I moved to Toronto, I remember a few years ago, my assistant received an email from Los Angeles, and she said, "Marco, you gotta look at this email." I go, "What's going on?" She goes, "Look at this." It says, "His name is John. He's rehabilitated. They saw your picture, picture of the painting, and he recognized himself, and so." The agent said that John was rehabilitated, and
wow.
For me, kind of touched me inside, because, you know, I couldn't even talk to the guy because he was completely out of it. But he gave me so much color and inspiration for these portraits that still now is with me, this man.
Yeah. Well, I hope a lot of people come up to Bartlesville to see this exhibit, Architecture and Nature, which is on display through December 2nd. And Scott, I'll just close with you. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I read about Marco's work is the fact that if you're a modernist, you really like the perspective. But if you're a realist who really likes the realist side, you still see that artistic expression come out in this painting. That's a rare artist that can attract both of those sides.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the reasons we enjoyed his work was that it was so approachable. I mean, people could really understand it and find something to connect with in it.
All right. Well, Marco, it was a pleasure to meet you. Scott, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. It was certainly my pleasure, and I thank you very much for being here. I enjoyed it.
Artists Marco Sassoni and Scott Perkins, the curator of collections and exhibitions at the Price Tower Art Center, speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. An exhibit of Sassoni's work, Marco Sassoni, Architecture and Nature, is on display through December 2nd at the Price Tower Art Center in Bartlesville. Information at pricetower.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.